This is the Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified podcast.
What's going on, Shiva?
Nothing. I saw Kaseya bought Gary Pika's True Methods. Kudos to Gary Pika for an exit. And, well, I just don't like Kaseya. That's all I got.
Yeah. So we're seeing the whole channel or the whole thing come up today where, you know, this marks the 253rd M&A acquisition that's happened this year. And we're 5 months into the year. It seems like we got a lot more consolidation and buyout from other folks, from other companies right now that is just doing a massive consolidation that we talked about. I didn't think 2021 was going to be a more expedited year than it was last year because we've seen a ton of it last year, right?
I think there's a lot of money to be spent when you have the powerhouses that are ConnectWise and Kaseya and the market consolidation that ConnectWise has been doing. Kaseya has no choice but to follow. I firmly believe one day Kaseya and ConnectWise will be the master MSP and they will start pitching you on, hey, go out and sell. We'll do all the work so that you can work on your business instead of working in your business, like what they tell us to go out and tell our end customers.
Yeah, not to confuse your company name of Continuum, but there is a Continuum with a C that ConnectWise has used for their in-house or their outsourced management for their partners. Refresh my memory, I don't think Kaseya has that currently, correct?
Not yet. I think they are probably looking at buying someone. And if I had to guess who they would buy, I would think it would be the 20. The 20 is already using Kaseya. It's a natural evolution for them. If they're not talking to leadership over at the 20, I'm assuming they will shortly. It's the only way. Mm-hmm. ConnectWise bought Service Leadership. They bought HTG a few years ago. So they have the financial side for the MSP. They have the peer group side. And now with Gary Pika's, or what was Gary Pika's, True Methods, Kaseya is getting to parity on that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the details are. I mean, a lot of times when we see the channel E2E stuff come out, you see, you know, kind of, you know, how long the existing owner is supposed to stay on board with, 6 months to a year, you know, kind of a little bit of the information that may get leaked out of, you know, financials, things of that nature. But this, they're definitely keeping this one close to the chest and kind of going from there. You know, when we start talking about this, you know, we've been very adamantly and vocal about Kaseya. I don't care for the product. I don't believe in what they are doing. I just don't think that it's a good solution from my personal belief that it's good for MSPs as a whole. And when you start looking at like they're, what they have here, manage and automate all of your IT with VSA, to MSPs, they want that single pane of glass. And I get that to a certain degree.
But there is no single pane of glass.
No, but they're trying to build that.
That's some unicorn MSP bullshit.
Yes. But when you start looking at from my side of the fence, when I start going after businesses and IT companies and, you know, if they want us to test their security, you've got a gateway to breach. Just like if you remember, what was it, 2 years ago when Webroot was going through all their mess. And if you pop Webroot, their tenant, you were able to drop payloads and do whatever you want to.
To Webroot's discredit, how long did it take them to put MFA on their platform, much less make it mandatory?
I think it was almost 4 to 6 months.
It was recent, within the last year or two, that they put MFA on that bad boy.
Yeah, they gave you the option to do it, but they did not make it mandatory.
Right. So if you're going to be able to do, in essence, command and control commands, probably want to secure your infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably a good idea.
Exactly. And that kind of brings up to the whole point of just how much can you trust your vendors? You know, this is talking to those out there, much as ourselves, too.
The answer is zero. And that's because I think you and I are in sync when it comes to having a zero trust, zero knowledge relationship with our vendors. I want the product, but I don't want you seeing inside of the product. I don't want you seeing my client data because take IT Glue, for instance. They can see into your tenant. They have complete access.
They got IT Glue. They got your agent. They are reselling the AV, which I'm assuming is a lot like PAX 8, where you are just inside. You are a partner account underneath their tenant for the said vendor. They got Rocket Cyber now. So now they're able to get some of that data.
Well, they get your logs. And let's be honest, all of these, let me rephrase this. The majority of these managed SIM and SOC platforms, they're not actually segregating your data. Mm-mm. It's a logical separation with a customer tag. So the chances that someone can get into that provider's data store, and by provider, I mean vendor, they can get insight into all of your clients, IP addresses, any products you have that may pass plain text passwords. Unify is good at that. So is Konica Minolta. They love passing those plain text passwords over the internet.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, firing up a Wireshark and you're able to start seeing all that traffic. It's really, really crazy. With what Kaseya is doing and has done, and last year I got it up here where they want to help automate their partners to become CMMC compliant. I don't know, with what they have in-house, unless they start restructuring and being able to make sure they do go through that zero knowledge, not zero trust, but pure zero knowledge from each one of their platforms, how are they going to maintain CMMC, especially with the VSA product, when it's all the everything in a single pane of glass type of scenario? I don't understand how they're going to achieve that.
So I have an interesting story. I am an IT Glue user, and my sales rep for IT Glue, account rep, customer success, whatever the dose of Kool-Aid is they want to make you think that they're your partner, told me that the DOD actually, well, branches of the military use Kaseya RMM. And when I heard that, I almost cried. You know, SolarWinds is one thing, that's an enterprise product, but you're taking a managed services product, which, let's be honest, the majority of these vendors wouldn't know security if it kicked them in the ass, and you're putting that into our defense base.
It goes right. It's really surprising that a lot of people or a lot of DOD is using Kaseya, especially with the whole SolarWinds thing. And I did see some of that stuff where they were actually running that in unison.
And they're using their backup product that they bought a couple of years ago. I forget the name of it.
The SolarWinds one or the Kaseya?
No, the Kaseya backup product. It was a recent acquisition. It was about 3, maybe 4 years ago. And my sales, my rep was so happy to tell me this. And when I asked him what zero knowledge is, he had no clue.
But yeah, they spot the company spanning for the Microsoft 365 cloud backup.
Okay, that might be something new.
Well, this is back in 2018. They bought Unitrends.
Unitrends, that's the one they said that is deep into the defense space.
Unless Kaseya and a lot of these other vendors really are going to start doing a FedRAMP model where they are allowing people to stand up their own tenants of these things. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure VSA is cloud-based. There's no standalone.
VSA and all these products are instance-based. Mm-hmm. They're not platforms like, say, the Datto platform.
Gotcha.
You can have a couple, maybe a dozen or so different versions running, depending on if it's hosted by Kaseya or if it's hosted on-prem by the partner. It really depends. I just checked the marketplace for FedRAMP. Kaseya is not listed. Neither is Unitrends. Why is the DOD or a branch using something that feasibly hasn't been vetted?
I mean, that goes back to our podcast that will be released later this week that we talked about with the police department in CJIS High, where they are not doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the government is going to do whatever the hell the government wants to do, or the departments of the government, I should say. Well, I mean, hell, any of it really. But there's nobody, like you said before on the podcast, that nobody's holding their feet to the fire.
You don't have to. They're making the rules. They can do as they wish. You've got local police departments who don't follow the proper CJIS protocols. And there are people who should not have access to CJIS controlled data and systems who barter for access to those systems, which that in of itself is pretty scary.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, it really is just interesting to see all this stuff go down. I don't know what to think about it. You know, I know we'll have some more to talk about on the podcast coming up again in another couple of days, but it's interesting to see what people are going to do and where this industry really is when it comes to cybersecurity, of how serious are people actually going to start taking this stuff.
I don't think they will, just because they're so desensitized. And then you have the majority of IT providers who think slapping an AV and a firewall in is cybersecurity. They have no concept of what controls are. And if they don't know what zero knowledge is, what are we going to do? There's a vendor in the marketplace who sells a zero trust platform, but it's not a zero knowledge platform. They can go in, they can do whatever they want. They have a storage piece, so they could feasibly see. I mean, these agents run a system. So they get breached in a supply chain attack, which has been happening quarterly at this point, major supply chain attacks.
Yep.
You're left bare. You know, you just pulled up a article that Kaseya announced a CMMC compliance back in December. Now, if I'm not mistaken, CMMC at that point had not even been finalized.
Nope, it hasn't been. And you know, we see, you know, a bunch of people jumping on the whole bandwagon where they can help you get CMMC compliant. I'm part of a group of folks that are going through self-attestation and going through asking each other, you know, hey, what exactly does this control mean? You know, how do I apply this? And until recently, I think it was January or February, the final version of CMMC was not even released as a final work proof of concept or proof of work.
I think this is a really good opportunity for, in this case, Kaseya, and I hate for them to be the whipping post on this, but for vendors to take advantage of their providers who they call their partners. Do you think Kaseya or any of the top MSP vendors have any competency in CMMC?
No, I don't.
And now they want to help their partners attain a level 1 through 5?
Well, they're not going to be able to get you above a level 3 without sponsorship, and they're not going to go through all that.
But do they know that?
I guarantee you they don't.
They just want that recurring revenue. That's all they care about.
Oh, absolutely. That's all they care about. It's, you know, it's all about, you know, padding that number so that way it helps for the next acquisition.
Right.
You know, I actually was watching a YouTube documentary. You know, I know this is going to be a little squirrely for a moment, but there was a documentary done not too long ago about McDonald's and the Taylor Company around the whole McDonald's milkshake things where
22% was service MRR.
Or 25%.
If I remember correctly, it is $140 for the technician for the first 15 minutes and $340 for every 15 or 30 minutes thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting out of there for less than $1,000 an hour, give or take.
Exactly.
That's a fantastic business model for Taylor, not you. Different Taylor.
No, different Taylor.
But that's the nature of it. Now, Chick-fil-A and all these other guys, they have Taylor machines that are different from the McDonald's machine because McDonald's has an exclusive. So is McDonald's complicit in that? But again, that's a whole different.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but the whole premise of, you know, how much are they, you know, trying to pad the book, so to speak, you know, showing them that they have more revenue, whether it's good revenue or bad, you know, it's more revenue. You know, so when you're trying to get more funding, you're trying to get acquired or whatever, you know, these are the kind of things they do.
And that's the problem in our industry, right? You've got, they're letting anyone in and the vendors are just shooting from the hip or whatever can stick on the wall.
It's sad. It's sad. Well, anyway, I appreciate jumping on. Those watching, this is just a little quick snippet of, you know, kind of our daily banter that we go back and forth on these podcasts. So if you're interested in hearing more about this stuff, definitely check out both my page and Shiva's page on your social media of preference, and check out our podcast that is on Spotify and Apple Tunes or Apple, Apple Play, Google Play, all that stuff, where we go into these stuff all the time.
And that is Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified.
Thanks for joining, and we will sign off. See y'all next time.
Thank you. Thanks again for joining us for the Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified podcast.